You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. By the way, I'm retweeting it right now. The Browns have just tweeted it as well, taking a sneak peek at phase two of the First Energy Stadium modernization project. They just released the renderings of what that will look like going forward. So certainly you could go check that out right now at clevelandbrowns.com. Speaking of clevelandbrowns.com, joining us now, senior staff writer Andrew Gribble. Andrew, we're going to talk offensive line in a second. The big fellas, the Maulers up front. But first, Kevin Jones earlier on this show said that he could take you in a throwdown. What say you, Andrew Gribble?
I wasn't listening to the exact play-by-play. I'll have to go back and listen to the full transcript.
Get on the tape.
You know, I don't want to be misquoted. I know how it can happen like that, but you know, I just kind of laughed at that. I mean, just the boldness of that prediction.
It is. Yeah, audacity.
He's got a couple. He's what, like 6'2", 6'3"? I'm about 6'4".
No, so he's not 6'3", is he?
Yeah,
I'm 6'4". No, I don't feel like KJ's
he's
even 6'1". Close to my height.
Okay, he feels taller than me, but okay. I think that might be one of the only advantages he has. I've got veteran savvy, scrappy, been around the block a little bit. Yeah. So.
From the South.
Yeah, spent time in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched high
school. Dirty.
Watched high school football down there. I've seen some throwdowns. So.
What would your finishing move be called?
You know, I watch wrestling. This is what I would do on the trampoline with my friends all the time. It's like, there was no better finisher than the people's elbow. Even though it was seemingly the most harmless finisher, it just had so much style.
It did.
And that was the easiest to do on a trampoline.
The
so
rock, the great
that.
One. The Gribble dribble. Kabow!
I like that. I was going for something Gribble, too. The Gribbler.
But, you know, one of my nicknames in junior high, people used to call me the Canadian Gribbler.
The Canadian Gribbler, nice. Like Chris Benoit.
Yeah,
I like that.
So that was
that's
that
a strong one.
So, you know, I don't know. I forget what his finisher was, but I could
the
research
Crippler Crossface. But he's gone on to do bad things. Anyway, the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns, one of the bright spots, obviously. You had your Pro Bowler and your All-Pro in Joe Thomas. Joel Bitonio was the runner-up for Pro Football Focus's Rookie of the Year. He was also their first-team All-Pro guard. Alex Mack obviously looked great before he got hurt. John Greco, Mitchell Schwartz, and then you had Nick McDonald, Ryan Seymour, Paul McQuiston all getting in there as well. Obviously a very good unit, but a unit that at times struggled once, obviously, Alex Mack went down.
Yeah, you know, I think the starting five, if they had stayed intact the entire season, could have been a very different season, I think. But I think that one injury, really the trickle-down effect was too much to overcome. And I think they tried a couple different things at center. It clearly never really clicked the way they wanted it to. And I think that's to gauge the entire offensive line, you've got to have some depth. And I just don't think that they maybe got the production they wanted to, and I think that they're going to address it going forward. But it just shows, you know, the center can often be so overlooked. Not many fans can name many starting centers in the entire NFL, but, you know, that's just such an important piece of the offense that when you lose that, especially someone as good as Mack, you're going to have problems no matter what.
Do you give McDonald and Seymour opportunities to acclimate and see where they're at? Because it seems to me that, you know, upgrading that backup center position's got to be somewhat of a priority.
Yeah, you know, I think so, but you also have to give them maybe that offseason, give them a chance to really get more comfortable with the offense, because they were throwing in to kind of a really tough situation, especially Seymour there at the end. You know, he came in and played pretty well, I guess, in that Buffalo game when McDonald got hurt, held his own for a couple games, but then he dealt with an injury too. So it's just, you really don't, you got to see what they can do healthy, see what they can do with more experience under the belt. But obviously, again, like you said, if you're looking at positions where the Browns might fill their needs through free agency, that could be definitely a position.
Knowing that Ray Farmer hit on Bitonio in a later round beyond the first round, and you know, we have heard in his closing the season statement about you know, the value of the guys that impact every football play and the grinders up front, do you think that we add competition and go out and get some young talent on the offensive line in the draft?
Well, I think with 10 picks, and that's definitely going to be addressed in some way. I think, I don't know what round you use picks on offensive linemen, but you know, this is a franchise, you know, in the last few years that's had some pretty good success with evaluating offensive linemen. I think that if you bring in a guy like Bitonio, I take a lot of confidence in what the scouts and everything are seeing at the college level from offensive linemen. And you go out there and tell them again, hey, find a guy like Bitonio, because you can't have enough of those guys in the offensive line.
Certainly can't. What do you think about the right side of the line? Greco, Schwartz, is that area the Browns could look to upgrade? Do you think they're happy there? What was your evaluation?
Well, you know, I think those guys stayed healthy, and there was some, they were kind of the constant there, but obviously Greco played that one game at center, but the drop-off was just maybe too much at the right guard position, so he had to go back there. But, you know, those are two veteran guys, and I think that there is something to say about cohesiveness, chemistry. It's very hard to keep a lot of a team intact with free agency guys coming and going every single year. But, you know, this is maybe a chance for this unit together to be together throughout an entire offseason, play together, and develop that cohesiveness. And maybe they can maybe instill some competition, get those guys to play better. But to maybe have that as an option, to have the same starting five, that's a plus going into next year, I think.
Do you believe that the offensive line and the continuity that we have, in fact, if we move forward with all five and have them as starters next year, that's being sold right now in some regards to the potential offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I think so, because Joe Thomas and that left side, Thomas and Betonio and Mack, I mean, that sells itself. I mean, if I don't know if there's any future with Betonio moving anywhere else on the offensive line, but you're so rock solid on that left side and in the middle. And, you know, I think that, and Greco and Schwartz played pretty well. So I think that that's definitely a perk for whoever gets this job. And I think that they showed when they were healthy that with the rookie running backs, this was a pretty effective running team.
It certainly was at times. How important do you think the system is going to be? You know, they weren't zone guys before, but if they come back, do you want to see them stay in the zone or go ahead and go back to a more traditional blocking scheme?
I think whatever they do, these guys can handle it, because clearly Joe Thomas showed that this was he said that this was the biggest dramatic shift he's ever had to make in his career. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan, when he was here, said he wasn't sure how Thomas would handle it, and clearly he handled it pretty well. So I think Betonio, Thomas, Mack, those guys are old enough and smart enough to be able to handle any major significant shift. So I don't know what's going on in those offensive coordinator interviews, if it's being stressed to them that we'd like some continuity on the offensive line. But I think that these are the guys that are intelligent enough to adjust and kind of do it seamlessly.
Andrew, do you believe that if, in fact, we do maintain the zone scheme, playing in the zone scheme would extend the career of guys like Joe Thomas to not have to one-on-one block both in the run and on the pass? So staying in the zone scheme actually bodes well for the longevity of the career of a guy like Joe Thomas.
Yeah, any year you can have Joe Thomas back is a good one, because he's a guy that's going to be good for – I still think he's got plenty of years ahead of him as a good offensive tackle. You know, so, I think the Pro Football Focus up to, I think, December – was saying that Joe Thomas was having his best season of the year. And he's a guy that's still getting better. I think he had a few penalties at the end that kind of knocked him down the rankings that they do every year, but still among the top tackles in the entire league. He's kind of a lock for the Pro Bowl every year. So the longer you have that guy around, the better shape you're in. It's just, you know, that's a position historically with the Browns where there's been a ton of stability. It seems like you go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, there's always been a left tackle there that holds that job for about 9, 10, 12 years, and that's a good thing to have.
Let me ask you this final question. Of all these offensive coordinator candidates we've heard about, what's your sense of them, and who do you like right now?
Well, you know, I think that you look at maybe the younger guy. I think that DeFilippo guy that gets mentioned, there's the chance of getting
the Raiders quarterback coach.
The next rising star. I think there's some good potential with that. But then you always kind of look at the guys who also have those relationships with Mike Pettine, because I think this is a relationship business. You want to be comfortable with who you're working with. And that name that emerged yesterday, that Anthony Lynn, I think that's an intriguing one as well, just because you look back and you look who you worked with during really good times. And I think that's someone that maybe kind of rises up the list just because Pettine has had a good relationship. And I think that's the most important part of the job.
Yeah, at this point, we want our coaches to all be on the same page, and that will hopefully help them stay here and keep the ship going. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer at ClevelandBrowns.com. You can read his great stuff there. I feel pretty confident. Andrew seems pretty confident about KJ. I felt that's what
I did too.
Quiet
and just so you know, Andrew, I'm the one that ensued the battle. I just
you
said Gribble. I said Gribble could whoop you.
Yep.
So
yep.
You got to hold up your end of the bargain.
Well, yeah, I appreciate the confidence you guys have in me. I think that'll help me whenever this emerges.
If we can get
HR on board, I think we'll be all right.
We'll be all right. We can get
some of those king size boxing gloves. That'd be spectacular.
Awesome. We can use the sumo suits.
There you go.
Yeah. Sumo suits. I like it.
That's what I'm talking about.
There we go. All right. Get the good stuff. Again, as I said, ClevelandBrowns.com, senior staff writer Andrew Gribble. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. When we come back, we still have a lot to go here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Four. We're going to actually talk about Mike Florio's very interesting article about Ezekiel Elliott saying that he should sit out next season and come into the draft. We'll see what you think about that. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports still to come at 2:30+. The mailbag, 2:45. Let us know. And, of course, you can always call us, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Like glowing.